is Wednesday, January the 26th, 2022, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio time. Scott Spears along with Glenn Coble. Now, I do want to give you a big programming update because Wednesday's a big day here at WWGH Radio. I'll be on with Glenn from 10:10 this morning until 12 noon, and then we have a Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, Dr. Ron Feynman, and Glenn from 12 to 1. 4 to 5 is Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman. 5 to 6 is The Show with No Name, which I really do think should be renamed Live at 5, and I hope that's a topic today of discussion. And then 6 to 7 is the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon. So all kinds of live programming here today. And if you couldn't get in the first 2 hours of the program but would like to say something, the phone lines are open. All topics are on the table for the next 2 hours. Kind of a just a conversation hodgepodge show here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. All right, how's it going, Glenn?
Well, if you had asked my family or my wife if all topics are open, they would have told you, oh, don't do that for Glenn.
Oh, is that right? Well, one too many open topics?
Yeah, sometimes my granddaughter told me I have no filter.
Well, you know, sometimes that is troubling for people. People
it
get
is.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people's families who've been nervous before. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, when you were talking about Bob, I think the cancer or something.
Bob?
I thought you were talking about you.
Oh, you mean Bob Nunley this morning?
Yeah, because I didn't catch the first of it. And then until you repeated it, I thought it was you.
Well, which part?
I don't know because I have to have the radio real low. And I thought you were talking about you. And if I didn't hear it repeated later, I would have thought it was you.
Oh, well, you know, do you want me to tell the story again? I can do it. It's been a couple hours.
If you want to,
tell the story.
I
missed
the first of it. I have
yeah,
to have the radio real low.
I'll tell the story.
Sleeping.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell the story again, and then we can kind of go down that route.
Tell it quietly.
Yeah, because I thought it was you.
Yeah, maybe new people have tuned in. I can tell it one more time.
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Well, first of all, what I was saying this morning was, you know, Bob Nunley, Marion native, our news story, we found out yesterday that he has cancer.
Oh.
And will be away from his morning job, but everything looks good.
Good.
Now, this, honestly, this had no pertinence to what I brought up this morning. I guess it's just timing. And I started off this morning, and I'm going to try to shorten this up from what I did this morning. But, you know, I am a nosy person, and and I like to know more about other people than I really want to tell about myself. You know, I don't mind having these conversations and so on and so forth, but I don't I don't want to come in and tell personal things. But it came to my attention that recently something happened, and I felt like when you do a job 5 days a week and you're involved with people 5 days a week, if you start missing things, people do get curious as to where you are. So that's why this morning I told this story, and basically what happened is, and again, this is not a huge worry. Don't be too concerned about this, because I do think certain words have a stigma, but the story this morning was, and this is about me, not about Bob Nunley, what happened was, prior to New Year's, the week between Christmas and New Year's, I just was having a cold. I had a runny nose, and I had kind of a sore throat, not hoarse or anything, but that's what was going on. So on New Year's morning, I woke up, and I was kind of nauseous, which is odd. And I thought, well, oh no, what if I have the COVID? Because it was going around heavy at that time. And on New Year's Day, none of the urgent cares were open, and there were really no stores open where I could go get a home test. So I went to the emergency room to get tested because I didn't want to be around people that day who I might infect. So I went to the emergency room, and by that point, I really had no nausea or anything left. But I went in. They said, you're okay on COVID, no issues there, but they said, we want to check your gallbladder, because maybe that's what caused this flare-up this morning. So they did a scan of my abdomen and did a blood test, blood workup. And this was New Year's Day. So they came back in, and the nurse said, blood work's all good. So I thought, well, this is good news. You know, ha-ha, I'm off the hook. So then, about an hour later, two people came in the room. And I thought, uh-oh, this does not look very good. Because I think we're talking about the gallbladder at this
what
point.
What are you still in the room for?
Well, because I'm waiting for the results of these tests.
Gotcha.
So the people come back in after they did the scan of my stomach, and they said, well, your gallbladder's fine, and all of the organs in your stomach are fine.
But your butt's going to fall off.
Well, but we see a mass in your abdomen.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And they said, we think you should get that biopsied because we don't know what that is. So I called my normal doctor when I got out of the hospital that day, and the normal doctor said, well, you know, there are a lot of things it could be, but your blood works good, and so on and so forth, and don't worry about it, but get it biopsied. So that's why I was not here on the 14th. I did go. I did what I said I would do. I went and I got the biopsy done at Marion General. And you have to wait 7 days to get the results of a biopsy, which is unbelievable. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You want to get the right results. But I guess it would have been last Friday, 21st, I got the results of the biopsy. So I went to the oncologist. And now, here's the part that, because I know this just puts like the terror in people, but it is cancer, but I am in no pain. I am fine. And the doctor told me it has probably been there for years. He said you could have probably went another 5 or 10 years and not even known you had it. Those were his words. So it's a miracle that I just happened to go because of COVID and find this out. I would have never went to the hospital. So he did tell me that there would be some treatments, but they are not big deal treatments from what he said.
They're not going to take it out.
No, they're not going to take it out. No surgery at this point. So that's good. And other than that, I want to let people know, because 2 days next week, I won't be here. But these are just tests that they want to run before they would start the treatment. And the treatment is not long. It's not years or things like that. So that's the story, and I just wanted to let people know, if I'm not here some mornings, maybe I don't feel the best, but just during the treatment, because treatments do have side effects. But I'm not... Glenn, do I look bad? Do I look like I'm about to drop it over at the microphone?
Well, you don't look unusually bad.
No, not unusually bad. No, so, but I have learned that word has a stigma yeah. to it that really frightens people, and I don't want people to think that that I'm horribly ill sitting here or anything. I haven't changed my eating habits. I still walk a mile every night. I probably wouldn't even know I've had it if I did not go in because of the nausea spell on New Year's Day.
Well, you remember a couple weeks ago I mentioned that I was concerned about a medical problem. And I got I got a few calls and or emails saying, are you all right?
Yeah.
And everybody assumed it's cancer because... and it could be. I'm going in on Monday to find out, but not expecting it. And my doctor said, don't worry about it. I was worried because I had so many people call and ask if I had cancer.
Well, what happened was, and now knowing that it is cancer, what I did not want is I did not want people to find out from somebody else. And when you're on the air 5 days a week, I would just rather not talk about it because I don't like to share personal things. But I had told three people, and then it became aware to me that, well, what if they tell somebody, and then somebody I know finds out from somebody else, and they think I didn't tell them? Well, no, I didn't want to do that. So I thought, well, this was the best way to do it. So there it is.
Okay.
And onward and upward.
Yeah. With this incident for me, it basically pointed out to me, well, there's not a whole lot I can do about the facts right now. except for move forward. Just keep moving forward and do what they tell you to do.
Well, that's the thing. When I went in and met with the guy, I mean, after he told me that it was cancer, the treatment was right there. Here's what we're going to do. And it sounded all very positive to me.
Yeah.
So
it's not like when I was your age. When I was your age, if they used the C word, it was a death sentence.
Basically. Oh, absolutely. It's a completely different world now. Technology and what they can do is really amazing. And then you also have to think about people who, right now, COVID is killing perfectly healthy people in a week. And I think that has taught us a lesson in society. And I think that people get up in the morning, have a stroke, and they're gone. Heart attack, and they're gone. So, I mean, nothing is a guarantee. And with this, if I felt bad, maybe I would feel a little more nervous, I guess. But I wouldn't have even known I had this. I'm not in any pain. It is funny, though, because when I left the hospital that day...
You mean funny, odd, not funny, ha-ha.
Well, I just thought it was funny, ha-ha.
Oh, okay.
Because when I left the hospital the first day, they had prescribed me pain medication and nausea medication. And I said, I'm not having any pain or nausea. So I never got the prescriptions filled. I thought, well, what in the world would I need this for?
When I had gout, I don't know, about 5 years ago, I went into an emergency care place, and it was really hurting. I don't think you have gout, but if you ever get gout, you will find out what pain really is. I mean, it was horrible. But what the guy prescribed to me was Oxycontin. And I took it home, but I never took it. I took one of them because the pain was so bad, and it didn't help my pain. But it did make me scared because I was taking Oxycontin.
Well, the point of this big, long story is basically just, number one, I just wanted to let, if I'm not here some morning and a replay plays, that's why. Or if Glenn or Adam is filling in, that's what's going on.
Okay.
Because you don't want to...
Are you telling me something I should know?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, Glenn, that there might be some fill-ins in the near future.
All right.
But everybody, it'll be fine and everything's hunky-dory. And if I'm not worried, I don't know why anybody else should be worried.
Yeah, that's true. And what's the difference? I mean, well, no. I'm gonna leave that to myself.
Well, no, you know what's funny? Now, I will tell you something funny, ha-ha. This is what actually brought it around for me. One of the three people who I had told about it, who was wanting to tell other people. I guess they... I don't know if they told the other person or not. I'm not really sure what went down. But they were telling one of their friends. And the friend said, well, can we put him in our prayer chain? And the person who knew this said, oh, no, he wouldn't like that. Not a religion thing, but because my name would be in there and then people would know that I did have it. So that I laughed at that. I thought that was funny. And I said to myself, well, I probably should say something to people because if they want to put me in the prayer chains or whatever, that's a nice thought. So there you go.
I was asked by Linda Sims to come on her show, and I texted back to her. I said, you do know I'm a confirmed atheist, right? And she said, I had gathered that. And yeah, but I still, you know, if somebody wants to put me in their prayer chain, all that's saying is I care about you.
Oh, and that's why I felt so terrible. I mean, it made me laugh because I can just hear this person saying, no, don't put him in it. But no, that's nice if you want to do that. I think that's great. And I don't know what the end of this life is, which I think is what all religion kind of is based on in a way.
Well, I'll tell you after we're done.
Okay. But so why not hedge your bets at any point in your life is kind of my philosophy on the whole thing. I don't have a feeling one way or another on the religion topic. I'm not going to come down harshly on it, but I'm not going to tell anybody any religious beliefs I have either, because that's one of those things, again, like politics, like, what else don't I like to talk about? Well, politics are a big one. Giving my opinion really on personal, on people is not something I like to do.
No, you don't.
No. And health, I don't like to talk about health, but again, it's hard to miss several days, and I don't want the audience thinking that I'm just out on them. But the good news is, I don't think I'm going to be missing a whole lot, because I did ask the doctor, I said, now when these treatments happen, can I still do things? Can I still go about? And he said, you know, honestly, there might be 1 week a month that you don't feel good. And that's it. So, hey.
I have 1 week a month I don't feel good anyway. So
there you go. So we'll be in the same boat at this particular point. But you know what? Curiosity does shine through on all occasions. Because when I was going through that biopsy, I'd never been through one of those before. I was completely curious. I was asking questions. You know, what happens with this? And what do you do with this? And of course, I had 1,000 questions for the doctor last week. To me, this is just one of those experiences that you learn a lot from.
I'm suspicious that I may have to have a biopsy, and I'm not looking forward to. It's like death. I'm not afraid of death. I'm just afraid of pain, and well, I don't like the pain.
Let me tell you now. This was also another reason I told, so I could kind of tell these stories.
Sure.
Let me tell you about my biopsy.
Okay.
I go in, and they do not put you to sleep for a biopsy.
Oh, okay.
No.
Now you're making me really scared.
Well, but they give you something called... Well, I'm going to take the call, and then I'll tell you my wonderful story in regard to a biopsy. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott, you asked about that church in Ashley, and I tried to get in before the break, but I didn't.
Oh, yeah, the White Lily.
Yeah. I think my wife said they're having breaded chicken today.
Ooh.
Breaded chicken. Now, what is the time on the White Lily Church?
Oh, gee, what did I tell you?
Is it 3 to 6:30?
I think that's what I told you.
That's what I thought.
I haven't been on the website, so.
And how much for a meal again?
$5 for adults and $3 for children.
So chicken today.
Mm. Yeah, breaded chicken.
Not too bad. Well, hey, thanks for the update.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
A lot of people love that White Lily down in Ashley, Ohio.
I'm going to have to see it someday.
But now here's the thing about the biopsy. So they tell me, we're not going to put you to sleep, but we have this drug called Twilight. And what it, you won't even remember. What a name for a drug.
Yeah.
We have this drug called Twilight, so you won't even realize what's going on. Okay. So I go in, and right before you're about to go back for the biopsy, they say, now, do you want anything for nerves? And I thought, well, sure, why not? And they gave me something, and I'm noticing as they're wheeling me back, I'm not feeling any different than I did when I was sitting in the room back there. So we get to back to the biopsy room, and they make you get off the table and get on another table, and I get on the other table.
Were you naked?
No, unfortunately not for everybody back there. So I get on the other table where they're going to do the biopsy, and the lady starts giving me this drug called Twilight. And she gives me one dose of it, and I'm thinking, I don't feel any different at all. I don't feel anything. And the doctor has not come in yet. So I say to her, I say, I don't feel anything. And she says, well, let me give you another dose. So she gives me another dose. Nothing. I'm still there. I'm 100% awake. I don't feel anything. So the doctor comes in at this point, and he says, well, I'm going to start this. And he said, give him one more dose of this. Three, nothing. I never felt anything. But here's the happy story of this. They numb the area. So you do feel just a needle like you would with an IV or a shot or whatever. You feel that when they're numbing it. But the biopsy itself, to be honest with you, and I was 100% wide awake, I didn't feel anything.
Well, you must have had that area in the Twilight Zone.
I must have. Well, but I was wide awake. I was talking to the nurses the whole time.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm not one that's going to ask the nurses and the doctors a whole lot of questions, but I think that does help you relax if you know at least something about what's going on.
Well, I thought, if I can say ow, then that'll be a good thing.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't a big thing. I mean, I went back to the room. They gave me, what did they give me to eat? I think they gave me a Diet Pepsi and some Cheez-Its or something, and that was fine. That went right down, and then I went to lunch after that. So it was a fine day.
To hell with nausea.
Yeah, there was no nausea involved with it. So I don't know. It's a curious thing to me. I'm interested in those things.
Medical science has come so far, hasn't it? Now, you aren't old enough to remember, I got my teeth drilled without any Novocaine.
Yeah.
It's just come a long way, that's all.
Well, it really has, and even the tests that they want me to do next week, I mean, they're outpatient. I mean, you don't stay in the hospital.
Yeah.
You just go in, you get it done, you get out, and then I think based on that, they come up with the treatment drugs that they're going to use. I think that's what the idea is.
Okay. Well, I wish you luck.
Well, yeah.
I mean, luck is, I guess luck is a good thing to have.
Well, it didn't sound bad to me.
Yeah.
I certainly think there are people in much worse positions and conditions.
There are guys on ventilators right now struggling to stay alive. Yeah.
Well, and little kids who are dealing with things who don't get a chance to do anything. So, I think as an adult, you are at least better equipped in your mind to deal with it than a kid would be.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Some adults are, yeah.
So that's that, and the only reason I don't want it to get confused with Bob Nunley. Well, that's number one. I don't want any confusion there. And number two, again, the only reason I'm bringing this up is if I tend to miss days, you will now know why. But I'm not, laying somewhere. I'm okay. I'm perfectly fine. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, what's going on? Happy New Year! Good morning, everybody. What's happening?
Good morning.
Well, you got a lot of energy. Who is this?
This is Randy Jones, straight from Brooklyn, New York, the filmmaker, independent filmmaker coming out. Got a movie coming out.
All right.
And it's going to be hot. Got to check it out. Called The Unstoppables. It's a superhero movie. And we got the comic book on the way, and the game should be released hopefully sometime late this year, beginning of next year.
Cool.
Which I'm getting into. I just woke up, got smoking going, just figured.
Well, that's interesting. The guy had a lot of energy there,
yeah,
let's say that.
But we had no idea why he was calling.
No, but we're glad his movie's coming out.
To promote his movie.
Yeah, that's good. We always like to get that in. Phone lines are open, as you can tell.
I might ask him to come back on in my show. And
he had a lot of energy, didn't he? He had a lot of energy.
Tomorrow at 12:15, give me a call.
740-383-9944. Give us a call if you got anything to say. 740-383-9944. We would love to hear from you here at this station. Give us a call anytime. Now, what else is new?
Your light's on. Does that not mean you have a call?
Well, I guess it does. Let's see. Well, no, we don't.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, if that was you, call back 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Hopefully they were able to get a hold of Sue this morning.
Yeah.
And find out if her male cat ever found a home.
I was absolutely shocked that my dog stayed out long enough to do his business this morning. It was so cold. Holy cow, it was cold.
It was very cold. And a question came up this morning. When it goes zero or below, is that a temperature? Or is there no temperature?
Well, it is a temperature. It would be a negative temperature, though. Today was -1. If you go below... zero in Celsius, that means you're freezing. It's already, zero is freezing. But now zero in Fahrenheit, I don't know where that falls on that scale.
Oh, by the way, I do. Now, the cobbler who called in about that, the Bob Nunley confusion there.
Yeah.
Is everything okay now? Is everything straight? Because I want everybody to be... at least understanding what the situation is. 740-383-9944. If that, I can't remember who called in, but if that was you and you got it all straightened out now, that's good too. But we certainly send Bob Nunley our best wishes.
Yes.
Marion native.
What a nice man.
Who's going, apparently this is the third time that he's had cancer from the story that I read. Now, he did not say what kind it was, but that he would be going, he's taking a sabbatical from, the show, and I think he did use the word isolation, that he's going to isolate while this is going on, and hopefully everything goes well.
Well, I've met with him several times. He came out and did a thing that I did with the credit union with about dogs and stuff. He loves animals. And matter of fact, if you have a wiener dog, he'll come over and talk to you no matter what. But, he, you know, you see him on TV and you think, well, he smiles, and maybe you can't tell sometimes. People on TV will smile a lot to make you like them, and it's not a real smile. Bob Nunley's smile and his pleasant attitude is for real. He's just a sweetheart. Or at least as far as he's ever dealt with me, and I've dealt with him probably a dozen times. So I wish him all the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been... I was trying to figure this out this morning. He seems to be... has been down for quite a while now. It's been a while since he's been on the news.
Him, yeah.
But I wasn't sure if he came back late last year for a little bit. I didn't quite understand the chronology of what happened here, because... In the press release they sent out, it said something about he had had other health problems that had kept him off the news for quite a while, but I'm not sure if he ever did return, and I don't watch that channel in the morning, so I'm not really sure. So, if you know anything about the Bob Nunley situation, you can also let us know. Does anybody watch Channel 4 in the morning? 740-383-9944.
Give us a buzz. I don't get Channel 4 very well. Do you get Channel 4?
Yeah, I on the antenna. The Channel 4 comes in pretty well okay.
My antenna, some days, I would say about 20% of the time I get Channel 4 fine, but 80% of the time it comes in and goes out and comes in and goes out. So.
The one that I have trouble with is 28. 28 comes in and out.
Yeah, I never get
it. Yeah, I get it sometimes, but not all the time. 4 usually is there.
How about 6?
6 is usually there.
I never get 6.
10 always comes in.
Oh, by the way, you just posted an update. My phone just told me that.
I did?
Yeah, that's what it says. Scott Spears just posted an update.
Well, I think I was sitting here with you, Glenn. I don't think I did post an update.
Well, I'll look and see what you posted.
Yeah, we'll have to see what was going on there. I don't recall that.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to break into your story.
Well, no, that's about all I got.
It says, today is a great day.
Oh, that was this morning. That
1
degree
outside. You know, sometimes...
that was about 7:30 this morning.
Yeah, sometimes the phones are a little slow.
I guess they are. It's a little lagging behind.
Oh, you did thank Angie, though. What did you
thank
Angie
for? Oh, I did, because she came in this morning with the strawberries and whipped cream.
She got out and did a nice thing for you on zero...
0 degree. Weather. Now, is tomorrow supposed to be colder than today or warmer?
No, I think it's supposed to be about the same. I'll look it up while you're talking, but... right now, it's up to all the way up to 5.
Oh, man, it's a heat wave here in town.
No, actually, tomorrow, the low is only supposed to get down to 4.
Oh. Only 4.
And that's what... It's 5 now, so... You're getting
what
a
can you
preview
do?
Of tomorrow.
You're getting a little bit of a preview. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Anything on your mind or anything you'd like to say?
Did we go sub-zero last year? I don't remember that.
I don't know. I do remember we had the one big snowstorm in February, because I remember trying to get to the station downtown, and I got there, but boy, it was
snowstorms
very
do
difficult.
Not mean it's cold, though, because usually when you get down at this temperature, you're not going to get snow. So
that is true. What is the temperature that you typically don't get snow after? You have to be below 32 to get snow.
No, you don't actually. The upper part of the clouds have to be below 32. You can get snow at 37, 38. It'll melt when it hits the ground. But I think, and I don't know this, and that used to be my minor in college. I should know it. But I think if you get below 20, you're not going to have too much snow.
Really?
I think that's true, yeah. But now, don't take that to a bank, please.
Well, see, I don't care. Well, I don't know. I mean, man, we have the big groundhog ceremony next week going on.
Yeah. You know, might freeze to death before then.
Well, we got Buckeye Chuck and Marion, and we got Puxatony Phil and in Puxatony, Pennsylvania.
I think it's warmer out that way. But
well, you know, a lot of times they disagree.
Yes, they do. Quite often. Yeah.
On their prognostications.
And I think last year or 2 years ago when I was listening to the show that they were doing, they said that our Buckeye Chuck is more accurate than Puxatony Phil.
Now, see, do these things have any...
No.
Right, I mean, I don't...
They don't have any.
I guess it's funny to me, because I'm not sure if there's no base in reality for these things, then is it just a fun thing?
It's just for fun.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, it's... The Salem witch trials were based on beliefs that these type of things were real. That kind of the reason why I'm an atheist is because I don't want to believe in stuff that has no scientific basis.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't the groundhog, though, based in some scientific nature? Because it's the six-week thing. So is it if it sees its shadow six more weeks or if it doesn't?
I never know.
I think if it sees its shadow and goes back in its hole, six more weeks of winter. I think that's the thing.
But that would be based on a microclimate. What's happening at that moment affects something 6 weeks later, which just doesn't
make
sense.
Well, I guess the point I'm saying is that isn't 6 weeks after February 2nd spring?
Yeah, just about.
So,
not quite, but just about.
I mean, isn't that what it's based in, I would think?
Probably. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that
up. Does anybody know the story behind the groundhog? Is it if it sees its shadow and goes back in the hole six more weeks of winter, or if it doesn't see its shadow, not six more weeks? I don't know. I've never really understood that. I understand it the day they do it, because I pay attention to it that day, but other than that, I really don't know that story.
6 weeks after Groundhog Day is the 16th, and the first day of spring is the 21st of March.
So, 5 days off.
Yeah.
So what do you think, even though I guess there's no scientific basis in it, what do you think the groundhog will say?
I think the groundhog's...
It's cold.
No, I think by then it'll be fairly warm. As a matter of fact, we're getting warm up toward the end of this next week.
That's what I understood, that next week at this time, I think it's supposed to be up in the 40s and rain.
Yeah.
So maybe the Farmer's Almanac girl was right, that January is going to be cold. And
I also don't believe in the Farmer's Almanac. So
hey, they're 70% accurate,
now,
apparently.
I tell you what, they are a lot closer than... a lot of people would expect.
Well, they have meteorologists working
yes,
for them.
They do, yeah.
So I think that helps.
They're basing it on science.
They're basing it on science.
Some version of science.
You know, people are so interested in the weather. That always gets me to some degree. I've never had a high interest in the weather. When I was in college, I took a meteorology course, but I didn't have huge interest.
The only reason why it was a minor for me in college was it was easy.
I just remember taking the meteor. I think, as a matter of fact, I had to take the meteorology class, you know, where you learned about cumulus clouds and things like that. I don't remember a whole lot about it because I don't think it interested me to a huge degree.
I just liked saying the word cumonimbus.
Well, now cumulus clouds mean what?
I don't. Those are the puffy ones, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And cumulonimbus clouds are the puffy clouds that get angry.
Have you noticed that the people on television, the local anchors, weather and also people in other positions, are starting to look a lot younger and different than they...
Scott, you're getting a lot older.
No. What I'm saying is, I mean, okay, I'm thinking about people like Bob Nunley and Jim Ganahl and Ben Gelber. Okay, now, these were men who looked kind of a specific way.
Our men. They're all alive, the ones you mentioned.
Yeah, they are alive. Does war mean they weren't alive?
Yeah, I guess.
What if you retire? None of them have, but let's say you retire. What does that mean? Do you say were then?
I think that's a flip of a coin, but yeah, you could say were then.
In any event, just so I'm proper here, they looked a certain way, and sometimes they were overweight, sometimes they were short, sometimes they were tall. They weren't walking off of they weren't coming out of a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
It seems now like they're hiring a lot more women for these positions, but the women all look a certain way. They look very young. They look very... they look like they could come out of a beauty pageant. They all have tans, and in Ohio, how you get a tan this time of year, we all know how that happens. But they're dressing very differently than you used to dress to do the evening news.
They pay a lot of money to costumiers and makeup people.
Yeah, but do you think it affects the gravitas of it? Because Jim Ganahl's still down there doing it. Well, so's Ben and Bob. Do you think people maybe pay a little more attention to them than they would the girl who's young and dressed in a certain way?
I've thought about that a lot, as a matter of fact, because I notice that I much prefer to watch a beautiful young woman doing the news than a young man. And I know that's sexist, and it's probably the wrong thing, but I do notice them more.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I have a question for you guys to consider.
Go ahead.
When you have a good-looking weather person, whether it be man or woman, do you pay attention to the weather, or do you pay attention to the presenter?
Bingo. That's what I was just saying. Yeah.
Well, the weather is such an important part of the newscast. It's interesting because I do think people pay attention to the weather for school delays and snow and whatever it is. But if it's, you know, that young girl who's dressed in a certain way, do you trust her as much as you would trust a Jim Ganahl or a Bob Nunnally or a Ben Gelber?
I don't trust any weather person. I just get into the radar and I see what's coming.
Yeah.
They're all up in the air, I guess.
Yeah, they're liars.
I don't know. I don't really think people see, that's the question. Are they doing that so more people will watch their channel? Is that the reason they're doing it?
Yes.
I agree with the
right,
caller.
Right, but does it do it? Does it cause the... I've never seen any information that shows that that's what happens.
I don't talk to a psychologist, but I'm almost certain. I know when there's a nice-looking weather person up there, in my case, a woman, I pay attention.
Yeah, me too.
To the weather or to the woman?
To both.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, thanks for... It's an interesting question.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Now, I listened to Brianna, and I can't remember what her last name is, in the morning at 8:30 to 9 o'clock, and she's on with... I can't remember her co-host name. Both of them are beautiful looking. But the reason why I started watching Brianna, first of all, she has a beautiful smile. She is a beautiful young lady. But she's definitely overweight. And I was shocked that they allowed somebody that was overweight to be on. But I watch her all the time because she's so pleasant looking.
Well, I've said this for years. I think they created the position of the traffic report.
Yeah.
So they could put these women
maybe
on the air.
Yeah.
Because if you're at home, who's paying attention to the traffic report?
Good question.
Yeah. And it's always a woman. It's never
right.
A young guy. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Glenn Scott, Jim Ganahl, you know, he's a lover of snow. I heard him the other last night. He come from Iowa. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I think it was Iowa. Anyhow, the snow and stuff there. And he saw an advertisement they needed a weatherman in Columbus, Ohio. And he thought, you know what, I can go there. And so that's how long, ever since, he said the years, but he's been there a good many years. And he said he loves snow, and he was there. But a couple nights before that, because I watched Jim at that time of night, and he said, you know, there was something about igloos. And he said, told the public there on TV, he said, he had his own snow machine there at his home, and he would blow snow. And he said that one year that he had a 20-foot-high igloo.
Wow. Two-story igloo.
He done a lot for the kids around the neighborhood. He made his own ice skating rink, you know. You just take and put a plastic down and put stakes down, and it might be a divot, a low spot and stuff. You wouldn't have to get out there with a grader and do all that. He may have, you know, I'm not saying that, but a low spot, and then just fill it up with water, and he had his own skating rink there for the kids, like 2-4 inches of ice, you know. There wasn't no drowning on that. Might be a plunk in the head, but he was interesting on that snow. He just loves snow. And so, there's every time he kind of talks a little bit more sometimes, gives a little bit more information out. It's very interesting. All those anchor people on TV, all of them that I find out in the news, in the media, and everything, they're all very, very good people because they get their job takes them all over the globe. Some of them, you know, how they go all over the globe and all over the United States, per se, and everything like that. And what kind of knowledge do you think that, why not? They could pick up all that knowledge and stuff, and they're very interesting people because they read and they do the news and they travel all over, you know, in different situations. So anchor people are nice people and beautiful people, men and women. And the younger ones coming, well, they got to be a day where they're going to have a chance to get into that position, and they're going to do just as good a job and stuff as we do, or as the ones do before. But you kind of get a liking like the old timers. They've been around, you know, and this and that. But they're all pretty accurate. I even like Adam. You know, Adam puts a little showcase. He puts a showcase into weather, Glenn.
I like him too as a weather guy.
He uses some nice words. And you know what? He covers his rear because he said, it's going to be a little more chillier tonight than it was last night. That's perfect to me. At least he's given the hint. It's not going to be 10. It's going to be chillier than 10. You know what? He's got a variation there. And I just absolutely love it. Love you guys, too, because you can really get into some good giggle and some good arguments. And
we do.
That's what it's all about. Have a good one, you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling in.
And again, phone lines are open. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So give us a buzz back. 57 and a half minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. I always like when somebody says, I like everybody, even Adam.
Poor Adam.
As if this might be even more difficult to come across. 740-383-9944.
I have a very interesting, and I looked up, do good-looking people get more jobs as anchors and people on TV? And it says, yes, it is part of the equation. It's not all the equation. It also says that they must be intelligent. Which may or may not
be. But how do you know that in a job interview?
Well, you can tell.
I don't know.
You can be fooled, too.
Yeah, I would imagine that there have been people hired who were not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I mean, I think we've seen some of them come and go over the years. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I like to see Adam kick the field goal, make the field goal, but it seems like they use Adam for the football all the time.
That's exactly right.
I hold up for him in the sport line, you know. Yeah, I like to see him make the field goal and win the game. He does. But, they're using him for the daggone football, Scott. Come on.
I know. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Well, it's you know, Adam has been given the name the windpipe here. I did not give him that name, by the way. Don't fault me for that.
I have an interesting story about looks and being on television. When I was at DePaul University, I got to be friendly with Greg Gumbel. And he and I got to be friendly, and so we were talking, and, well, we weren't talking, but we were, occasionally we would have conversations. Anyway, one day I opened my door because somebody knocked on it, and there he was, standing there, looking very forlorn, and I said, "What's the matter, Greg?" And he said, "I've just lost my job." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They gave me a pink slip. I'm no longer at WBBM in Chicago." I said, "Why'd they fire you?" He said, "Because of my," and I can't remember the name of it, but they have a type of testing where they put a bunch of women in a room for if they're looking at a male and decide whether you are good looking enough. And he failed.
He
that.
Failed.
And
he's had a job ever since.
Well, and I said, "You'll be fine. You're a great reporter." And he said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go." I saw him about 6 months later on network news.
There you go. He went up. He went up. Focus groups. I think those are focus groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Focus groups. We're going to break a whole another hour of this. Stay tuned.
It was successful,
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
I got two Marlas.
Oh, there's another Marla.
Yeah, Danny's